Podcasting is a complicated profession. And why are we here? It's unclear, but we're back. You thought you were rid of us, but we're back. It's your friends at A Complicated Profession. I'm Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, on this very special episode by Tony Sindelar. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Dan.
And also Kat Benish. Hi, Kat.
Hey, all. And I've been told the Olympics are no longer topical, so I'm not allowed to make references to them.
There's, yeah, by the time Dan edits this, people will have completely
we'll
forgotten.
We'll be on to the next Olympics.
We have a new format. I'm really excited. We're going to be covering The Power Broker chapter by chapter here on A Complicated Profession.
Oh, I am in for this.
I did not do the reading.
I am in for this.
Until the next Star Wars thing comes out and or the next
Is it Andor?
No, it might be an animated series.
Robert Moses book?
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, okay, let's talk about this. I think it's actually a really interesting book.
I've never read
it. Okay,
I'm not reading it. Yeah, we call Tony's bluff.
Dan, I went to college. I can pretend to have read a book that I haven't read. That's a joke about Dan going to college and pretending to have read books he didn't read.
Yeah, well, certainly true. Why are we here? Well,
yeah, all right, airing of grievances mainly.
Yeah, Star Wars has had, there's some Star Wars stuff has happened, and we felt like our voices were sorely needed in this conversation.
Yeah. Dave Filoni, what's up? So,
are we calling him out?
Okay, take it down a notch, just one notch.
You know what, Kat? Keep going.
Dave Filoni, how long have you worked here for? No, sorry. We were just watching the Chimney Van Donuts video right before this. which you haven't watched. I strongly recommend you do. No.
No one doubts that Dave Filoni can order donuts, though, right?
No,
he looks like he's got a guy. And when I say a guy, I mean a place that he goes to get donuts and they know him there.
So,
you know?
I think my entire attitude toward this can be summed up in a simple recap of what happened on the most recent of Dance of My Vacations. We were out at a level. I'm currently unemployed, so all I do is vacation. Actually, funny story about that. I'm starting a new job.
She's digressing on her own digression.
No, real quick.
I just like the idea that you would recap your vacation, that you would call it a recap as opposed to just a story about it, as if your vacation
previously
was a thing.
On Kat's vacation.
A vacation was a thing you saw on your iPad as opposed to
a thing
that you experienced in the first person. I don't know. It was just, you know, Kat, I don't say that this does, you don't do this very much, but that was a little Michael Hing. And you know it's true.
I don't doubt it at all. Anyways, I'm starting a new job on Monday and I had to write an introduction. I did like an entire professional bio. I'm like, oh yeah, throw in some personal stuff too. It's like, you know, I have a family and a kid. And I like hiking and biking. And like, yeah, I do a Star Wars podcast. And then I instantly regretted, like, please, no one look for this podcast. You will not think that I'm remotely professional or I have my life together at all from the reality that this is this podcast. Anyways, the story
was... So did you tell them that you have a Star Wars podcast?
She absolutely did.
Yeah.
Wow. Bold. For
but
day
I did,
one.
I didn't name it. I did not name it.
Yeah, that'll stop them.
Yeah, that's... I mean, Kat, like, not to, like... tell you you're running bad InfoSec, but
anyways,
you could be running better.
Hello to all of Kat's new coworkers.
Yeah, no, this is great. Thanks for tuning into our episode that's not about anything.
That's every episode, Tony. Every episode, except for the episode about K2 and the Mighty Ducks. That actually had a real
through line.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, the recap of vacation is I'm sitting there, I'm reading my book, and Dan turns over and goes, Kat. Oh my gosh, they canceled The Acolyte. I was like, oh, that's really sad. You know, I'm kind of upset about that. But, you know, I get it. They cancel TV shows. It's like, Kat, can I make you really mad? Reminder, they're still making Ahsoka season 2. And I was like, I am now irate.
Kat set fire to the lake. Burned the Fury of a Thousand Suns.
Yeah, they should reduce the amount of gasoline in that lake.
I mean... do we know that Dave Filoni canceled
the
Acolyte?
No, I don't think it's personal. I don't take it out of Dave Filoni.
I assume this is at a higher level. I assume either it's Kathy Kennedy or whoever, it's probably not Bob Iger, but like whoever is in between Bob Iger and Kathy Kennedy.
And just to, in the interest of vaguely having a structure for
Oh yeah, you want to tell people what we're talking about? Or
we're going to do two. Yeah, first off, I'm going to mention what we are actually talking about, a thing that other people do on podcasts. It seems nice when they do it. We're going to talk about two things on this podcast. We're talking about one of them right now, which is that the Acolyte got canceled and our feelings and thoughts around that. We are then later going to talk about the Skeleton Crew trailer.
That's
two Star Wars things. Yeah,
look, the price we are.
We're almost a professional Star Wars podcast. Anyway, back to, the Acolyte got canceled. Well, Kat, you know, you said, yeah, TV shows get canceled. And They do. I can't dispute that. This is the first Star Wars TV show to get canceled, though.
Yeah, but they also, you know, they did scale back after the Han Solo movie didn't do as well. Like, there's a history of scaling back.
They scale back movies. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like, there are so many things that were announced during that amazing Disney investor conference that, like, we've never really seen come to fruition.
Well, Rangers of the New Republic got canned.
Yeah, so, like
officially canned before it even got filmed, but that was anything.
In part, that was because of Gina Carano, right?
Yes, that was at least in some part because Gina Carano.
But somewhere there's some slide with these are our 15 Star Wars projects that didn't
right
happen.
I mean, there was if you cast your mind back to that, I believe they officially announced a Lando project that is still nominally happening but is also really not in active development.
So I think
it seems to be like seventh on Donald Glover's list of things
Donald
to do.
Donald Glover's a busy man, and I don't blame him.
He's busy.
It
turns out
that.
Being very successful is a lot of work.
Takes every time.
Very talented.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the Community movie is like three notches above the Lando series for whatever reason, so I don't know.
I would say it's like, I am disappointed, but I think also going into the show, if Andor was going to be canceled, I'd be furious, A, because it was a great show, and B, they went in saying there were two seasons, right? We went into the season not even knowing if there was going to be a second season, and there have been so many Star Wars series where we've seen, like, the Obi-Wan one, Boba Fett, where they wrap up... the show in one season. So like I went into the show thinking, hey, it might be one season. If we see another one, it's gonna be a different chapter, like the chapter of Boba Fett. So like I'm
it's interesting.
Maybe they'll do it again and they'll continue the story via, like, they'll find a way to tell the story that needs to be told, even if it's an animated show.
Or I think it'll be probably it might be in the comics or something.
Yeah, comic books, the lowest of media.
No,
easily decanonized.
Here's the thing that is weird about this to me is I remember several interviews with Leslie Headland where she said, like, oh, I'm putting it all on the table for season one because you never know if you'll get renewed or not, which indicates to me that show was already on thin ice potentially at that point. I also want to be... I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this. It's not like I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here. That's not what I mean. But, like, there's a lot of sort of dialogue about, you know, the opinions or like the feelings behind this. And like, let's be clear, there's only one reason this show got canceled. Not enough people watched it.
And I will caveat again, it's probably not actually views. I'm sure they have a complicated algorithm that relates viewerships
and subscribers
to subscribers to revenue, right? That that's what drives it.
But they can look at it and say this did not perform in the same way that even shows maybe like Andor, which doesn't necessarily have huge ratings, but is very critically acclaimed, right? Like, if your show is getting nominated for Emmys, like, you want that, like, level of prestige.
There's some corporate drone that has an Emmy is worth
cereal
this
card
number of...
It's calculating that we have a blue cereal.
But no, he has a math equation where it's like, well, you know, an Emmy equals this many bonus viewers or bonus dollars that we can run this through, and
or
you know, you need to get enough
of subscribers
or something,
like those fun marketing metrics.
I want to believe that review bombing is a pointless and has no impact, and that, you know, that the people who run these equations can filter that stuff out / do not care about that kind of stuff, and that review bombing is basically just nerds getting in the way of other nerds. Because I want to believe that review bombing
I want to believe
really
that too.
And I think that is true unless it actually depressed viewership. Like if it's the second factor, like second order cause where it's like we got so loud that people who would have otherwise tuned in did not tune in, then it could have an effect. But I don't think the direct effect is them looking at the review bombing being like, people hate it, let's cancel it.
No.
That's nobody makes decisions that way.
Or if they do, then they're bad.
And let's take a step back and say, how many decisions have you made in your life based on people in the internet being angry about things? Right?
Yeah.
That's not a good metric for anybody to do.
And I'm not going to start now. Yeah.
So
and
don't give them at least that much credit, I guess.
And you know, we all nominally put stuff on the internet and occasionally receive feedback around it. I don't know. Dan, I get emails about you could do this thing differently in your Dungeons & Dragons campaign. And someday one of those emails will be... Let me... many of those emails are well-intentioned. Someday one of them may be well-received, but sorry,
not nerds. I think our
one-star review on this podcast is my favorite review, because I think it basically says, like, we don't spend enough time recapping. It's like, why? If just watch the show. You don't need us to recap. I need to recap and remember what happened, but...
Check out Wikipedia, kid. You're going to love it.
You have to recap Kat's vacation because none of you were there.
Yeah. So no, that's what we
did. You guys not get the memo? I circulated a memo.
Okay. Thank you. Anyway, I think the frustration for part of that is, like, looking back at some of those interviews and thinking about, like, did you really leave everything on the table? Like,
there is a through
line of plot that happens in this. But it also still feels like only one chapter of a plot. Yeah.
This has a lot of hooks for... Yeah. I mean, that last episode did not feel like they were leaving it all on the table.
No, I agree. You know? I think that's the one thing I'm angry about. Is I think there was this... I to the point of the review bombing, just abominable behavior, but essentially the idea of, like... And I don't think this show was ever good enough to drive the virality and, like, the word of mouth that the first season of Mandalorian and Andor have. That I don't think any other Star Wars shows potentially have, but I do wish, I think what I'm most regretful of, that they didn't close the first season more tightly. Or also I would love another season just to Manny Jacinto to shine, just because he's so good.
Just him hanging out.
Yeah.
It's tricky. You know, different people want different things from their Star Wars. Out there's somebody who's like got their Book of Boba Fett full back tattoo and will not hear otherwise. And they're, you know, they're doing okay.
If you're that person, sort of, please write in. I want to know why.
They don't listen. but, you know, I am reminded there were people, like, I feel like there were even, like, friends of ours, like, when Andor came out, we're on, I forget if it was Twitter back then or if it was on Mastodon, being like, I don't know, when did Star Wars get so talky? Because, like, not a lot happens in the first couple episodes of Andor. When I say not a lot happens, I mean not a lot blows up, which is some people's only metric for things happening. You know, there were people who did not like Andor in the first couple episodes or at all.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we know scientifically that those people are wrong.
Yes, absolutely.
because we've given this show Emmys, which is how science works. Mm-hmm. And so that show is okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, my understanding is, and, you know, it's tricky in the streaming world because basically they only release the numbers that they want to. And, you know, you can't, you can never really know what's going
on
behind the
scenes. It's not apples to apples comparisons. It's very difficult. Yeah.
And they have no interest in telling you because they don't want to. That's not how their money works.
Think about
this. But, like, it seemed like, I was just going to say, it seemed like the first episode, I think, was relatively well seen. And I could see where a lot of people who were, you know, not people who would make a Star Wars podcast, might tune in for that first episode and be like, this isn't what I'm looking for, and go on to something else. And those probably are the same people who, like, tuned in for the first episode of Andor and were like, nah, I don't know about this. And, you know, whereas they tuned in for the first episode of Mandalorian and, like, they're in. I don't know how those people feel about Obi-Wan. We haven't done the science yet. But I could see that, you know, the Acolyte was a show that was very different from other stuff.
Yeah.
And if what you were looking for was more Star Wars spit out of a tube at you, it wasn't gonna get you there. Maybe
I think that is part of my disappointment, is feeling like they tried something very different here, and I hope the lesson they take away is not let's not try different things. But I do think it also, you know, sort of the inverse of that is thinking about whether or not the Star Wars brand name is enough. Like, that's kind of the point, I think, Tony, you were kind of talking about, is, like, people tune in for one episode, but they aren't going to stick with it. Then there's, like, maybe not enough of the, like, Star Wars itself does not have enough cachet, or it's not enough of a thing to get people to tune in just for that.
I would like to pull you guys all to, please, as I pull down my PowerPoint presentation, which I made during my vacation, of supply and demand, right? Fundamentally, supply and demand, right?
Yeah.
There is now a lot of supply, so there may be
there's
less
a lot
demand.
Of Star Wars.
A lot of Star Wars.
If you only wanted to, I mean, it used to be you got 2 hours of Star Wars every, like, 4 years, and then none for a long time. And then you got, you know, every couple of years there'd be a movie. Right now, if you only wanted to consume 10 hours of Star Wars a year, you have a lot of options.
Yeah. And so.
And I'm somewhat reminded of kind of what we saw happening with
Marvel
TV.
Yeah.
Yep. Marvel TV, specifically, at least in the TV world, but in the movie world also, where it's like, we have a lot of Marvel TV shows, and like maybe some of those shows shouldn't have been released.
You know, we can dive many opinions. Have they canceled any of the Marvel TV shows?
There are shows that have not come back, but they never, this is the thing, right? Like it's all optics. It's like, was it canceled or was there never intended to be a second season?
Yeah, which
a lot
is
of
smart.
Times you don't know.
That's the way to do it.
And means that they exist as nice self-contained units that don't leave you hanging with, like, you know,
mid-credits
run off to meet with Master Yoda at the end of the
one thing, you know? That it does kind of work for them and against them, I guess, in that way is like the Marvel stuff had so much of the interconnectedness, which some of the Star Wars stuff has had. If you look at the Filoni verse, you know, like
it basically feels like there's Dave Filoni Star Wars and then there's other Star Wars.
There was Darth Plagueis the Wise, right?
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
The other tricky thing, and this is just a broader question about the streaming market, I know that, like, I'm sure has come up in other places, but, like, it is fascinating to look at the how different the consumption is from the world of TV, like broadcast TV, where you air a thing and you see, you know, based on your ratings and stuff, how many people tuned in. But streaming shows have long tails, right? Like, could be a month from now, something happens and everybody is watching, like people go and stream this show because, like, you know, it's like, oh, hey, did you sleep on The Acolyte? Check out this one clip of Manny Jacinto, like it goes viral and everyone's like, oh, I can't believe I didn't watch that show. Like, you never know, really.
But
and they have
hard
to take
though,
into account
be
the windows
too
as well.
Late, right?
And this is this is the exact challenge of this is like, it's the difference between a show that airs once and you have to get the ratings on it versus a show where even within a week, people might watch that episode in various times.
I hear you on that, but again, I like
it's just
to
a different metric.
No. Yeah, I like to believe that the quants at Disney have to be like doing some incredible analysis on this.
No, absolutely.
Like, maybe there's an outside chance in 4 years, like Manny Jacinto start, like what's his name, Glenn Powell, right?
Yeah.
The rom com he did that I'm sure got a bump, right, because of the Hitman.
Yeah. Well,
right. Because I was like, I'll go back and watch them. And then I read the plot. I'm like, maybe I won't watch this. But like, I'm sure other people decided to watch it. He might do something and the knock on effects. But I think that is so unlikely and you can't plan around it. There's probably some probability way to determine that is.
There is. I mean, I always think of the sad, weird version of it. I think it was Lovecraft Country on HBO that
I wasn't going to go down that way. But yes.
And like a month later, like, I don't know if it was Emmys, but I know that show won some Emmys, but it won a bunch of awards after it had been canceled. And then it's like,
yeah,
what are you doing, guys?
But
right?
Wasn't like, it also only one book?
Yes. But they had a whole plan. They had actually like talked about the showrunners announced like, this was our whole like structure for season two.
Yeah.
And like, it's tricky, right? Because there's a lot of times there's also competing narratives about like, what does the studio let you say? What does your streamer let you say? Yeah. What can the people there actually talk about?
Do you work with them again?
Do you want to work with them again? Right,
you
exactly.
It is actually interesting that I haven't seen anything from the actors in the media talking about it.
Only one I've seen is Lee Jung-jae actually did get Entertainment Weekly had a comment from him saying he was really disappointed, but he was like, obviously he literally says in it, but I was dead, so I wasn't coming back anyway.
Yeah. But versus everyone else's, I think their degree of like, I think we might see it come back. I don't think the story is over. I think we might see it come back in different ways. And I think people are holding on to how do we continue the story going forward.
The question is, does Dave Filoni like it enough to remediate it in some other?
And again, I think
finally we have a show go from live action to animation.
Yeah.
Except for Manny Jacinto, who is live action in the animated show.
Yeah, he's like, Roger Rabbit is in there.
Absolutely watch it.
That sounds amazing. I think it is interesting to see, and it also is interesting that, like, you know, again, as we talked about with Marvel as the example, when I still see stories all the time about whether or not there will be a Kenobi season two, which there's no indication that they ever planned it or they never had any indication of doing it. Every once in a while, people ask Ewan McGregor, right? And he's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, if there was a really good story, sure, I'd consider it. But, like,
I feel like that's the generic canned answer.
Sure,
like,
but, like, I'm sure he'd be happy to get paid.
If there's a story really great,
again.
I would be willing to accept money for work done.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
So,
you know.
So, but, like, versus the narrative that came out about this, which was you know, via sites like Deadline and Hollywood Reporter, who clearly are talking to people at the company and people at the company are telling them this is canceled, right, as opposed to this is a show where oh yeah, we just never had an intention of making a second season.
The thing that's wild to me is, as Dan pointed out later on the vacation, is that they also pulled down.
We talk about Star Wars on vacation.
Is they pulled down all the Acolyte merchandise.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which
yeah.
is
that's weird.
Yeah, so Dan's guess, I'll say out loud for Dan, is essentially there might be something around writing it down from a law standpoint. Like you might have to, like, okay. Accounting rather.
Who gets paid for Acolyte merch and what
I don't know.
There might be a benefit
or
to that.
Or it wasn't selling. But like you'd think after canceling, you'd actually see a bump in people buying it.
I mean, especially you don't have a new Star Wars thing for 3 months, right? I mean,
yeah, I wanted to buy my little Basil doll.
They are in kind of a weird place where, like, Star Wars is very much about the merchandise. And, the Skeleton Crew does not come out until December. What you really want, you really want something in
the Lego set is already out, though.
Oh, for Skeleton
Crew? The Lego set is
That's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of those things where you got to watch out where there might be like spoilers in the Lego set, depending on how you feel about it.
You know, it's
such as knowing the names of the characters.
There's something interesting in the. It's always interesting watching the cycles because I remember a few months ago, I kept pointing out to you, Kat, like, I kept seeing stories show up about, like, the actors from Ahsoka doing press about Ahsoka well after the show had aired. And I think I assumed in later...
Was that a writer's strike thing? Or
no, I think it was I think it was awards bait, essentially. And I thought that was so weird at the time, and it took me a while to realize, like, oh, they must be,
they
like,
did the same thing for Acolyte, though.
Well, but no, because it's...
We saw tons and tons of videos of Manny Jacinto fighting.
Yes.
That might have just been my Instagram.
While the show was airing.
Yeah.
This was, for the Ahsoka, it was like months after it had aired.
Sure.
And so I kept being like, why are they doing this now? Are they doing all these like interviews with these people? Especially because I think it was before it got announced that it was renewed. And I was like, what are they doing with this show that like was on?
Oh, yeah, we did see a couple of videos, yeah. But it's... I kind of shifting at that and thinking back to the Christmas point, I think that is super interesting. And I didn't put two together. I think I haven't read much about Skeleton Crew other than like the Screen Rant article. And I think one of the interesting conversations is if this is a kid show or not. But I think clearly the Christmas timing is such that like it opens December 3rd. And we'll be running through Christmas.
Are we going on to our second segment?
I think we're pivoting, right?
I think Kat has pivoted us.
I, for one, though, do believe the Acolyte will come back in some way, shape, or form. But let's talk about Skeleton Crew. This looks fun.
You know, Star Wars will use every idea forever, whether it's an anthology book, a comic book, or a video game. Somebody will mine Acolyte for more things because the alternative is to come up with an original idea, and that is not happening.
No. Only
do you remember? I mean, do you not remember that we had a space otter and then a whole story about Han Solo fighting space otters? Like, nothing's ever dead.
Yeah. Dan, there's only so many types of stories out there to write.
Man versus space otter.
Yep.
And I do think
a subset of man versus nature.
We will have to come back to the virgins, and we'll come back to the witches. And we'll come back to all these things. Witches are cool, man.
Will we come back to the virgins?
I want to know what's in the bottom of that.
Pit.
Mm.
It's a rancor. So Skeleton Crew.
Goonies in space.
Yeah, we got our first trailer. I
really go through this frame by frame.
Gonna do that? I do not have
Dan. Remember when you used to do that? Remember that when that was like a thing that you wanted to do and then you did it. Reminding you.
It was
who you are.
You're here. What are you complaining about?
What? I can complain.
What are you groaning about? This is the thing that you just wanted to do.
Yeah, I know. But I don't actually want to do it. Yeah. Okay. So So this is
Smash Cut.
We are essentially doing Star Wars in space.
Star Wars in space.
I have bad news for you, Kat. Almost all of Star Wars.
Let me pitch it to you. Okay, it's like Star Wars,
high concept,
but in space.
So imagine Tatooine.
Can we get the rights to that? Tatooine. Who has the rights to space?
Space Wars.
Does it have to be space?
Galaxy Quest.
A Final Frontier.
Yeah.
Not Galaxy Quest, sorry, Sea Quest. That's Sea Quest.
The ocean. What is happening?
We said, so it had to be space. Does it have to be space? Think the ocean.
Oh, okay.
SeaQuest is just Star Trek and water.
Let's not talk about SeaQuest on this podcast.
I thought we only talked about it at least once on it.
Definitely.
And I wasn't happy then, and I'm not happy now.
Oh, gosh, it's so good. So good.
No, it's not. You're wrong.
It does get weird in the third season. Anyways.
Search your feelings. Whatever you want to believe about.
So Skeleton Crew.
You
know?
Doesn't have a dolphin in it. Does not have a talking dolphin in it.
Skeleton Crew
we don't
does not
know
have
that.
That's true.
We don't.
It does have a talking blue elephant who may or may not be related to Max Rebo's species.
Let me give the quick summary. So clearly we are in the suburbia. Yes, in my backyard.
Space suburbia.
Of space suburbia.
There's definitely an extra syllable or two in there.
Suburbia.
I drive a Chevy Suburban.
Is everyone drinking during this podcast now? Is that what's happening?
Oh, it's been a long day.
On a planet that is not Tatooine.
Not
on a planet
Tatooine,
that's,
or that it could be Tatooine. We don't know that it's not Tatooine.
But it's what's later, and they have, like, everyone is... Are you suggesting that maybe Tatooine is just a result of, like, limitations on watering your yard, and if they let people...
No, they finally terraformed it.
Yeah.
They finally terraformed
Tatooine.
We saw
that with Boba Fett, remember, with all the sand people?
Yeah. They rather than spending all that money and effort to, like, basically strip mining other planets, they're finally investing in the local infrastructure, which leads Tatooine becoming suburbia. Anyways,
I don't know how much we need to focus on this planet that has several establishing shots, because my sense is that they leave that planet by the end of episode
It's
one.
A bunch of kids. We got some real strong space camp vibes here, too.
I've never seen space camp, but I believe it's probably...
It's I don't know if it's good, but I liked it a lot as a kid.
That is a very tricky path. I mean, I think I only saw Goonies as, like, I was going to say as an adult, but, like, as a college student, because everybody was like, Goonies. And I was like, this is fine.
I feel that way about Time Bandits. I never saw it as a kid, so I didn't like it as I saw it older.
Yeah, nostalgia is a very powerful drug, and if you don't have that, it turns out a lot of stuff is just fine.
Yeah, I think there's...
I would have said this has Flight of the Navigator feels.
Yes, yes. Yep.
Which is a movie I was very afraid of.
Oh, yeah, it's a terrifying movie.
And
it's terrifying.
Though, objectively, I think I could probably watch it now as a middle-aged grown-up, I would prefer not to find out for sure and just assume that it's still scary.
If I may throw out my comparison, watch it. It would be, have you seen Star Trek Prodigy? Because this is also kind of the same plot as Star Trek Prodigy.
Yeah.
So, recap.
I mean, basically, there's only three stories, and one of them is just the 80s.
It's true. But hopefully we're a little better about women in this show than we were in the 80s. Anyways, so it's a bunch of kids who are still doing standardized testing in the future. And
long time ago,
they find what they think is a Jedi temple. Stuff happens, and they go out in the great space and go and explore.
It's probably
and there's missions,
a spaceship.
And there's a space owl. And then there's they meet the talented Mr. Ripley in space, Jude Law.
Is that where you think of Jude Law as being from?
What were you going to go? Sky Captain? Where were you going?
Yeah, Jude Law first saw him in Top Mr. Ripley. Yeah, I think so.
I'm trying to think. I would probably go to Gattaca. I think the thing that unfortunately I'm struggling to remember it. He's in some terrible vampire movie, which is like that's how I think of him first. Jude Law in that vampire movie. Searching to make sure that he is in a vampire movie and that I did not make this up. It's possible somebody else is in this vampire movie. Possibly maybe an Ethan Hawke. Who in my head looks kind of like Jude Law.
Yeah, no, I can see it. I don't think he's done a vampire movie. Not that I'm
Are you familiar. Sure?
He could be a vampire in this.
Hold on. I'm just searching Jude Law vampire.
Immortality?
That
looks real bad.
I don't think it's
vampire
that
one. Vampire in London is searching for the ideal woman to redeem him. Whoa, boy.
That sounds real bad.
It's not that one.
Okay.
There's a movie where the whole twist is that everybody's vampires.
And Colin Salmon is in that? Wow, we should watch this instead. Sorry, what's this? Oh, you're thinking of, it's not Daylight. That's Ethan Hawke.
Daybreakers,
thank you.
Daybreakers. Is that Ethan Hawke?
Yeah.
Who is basically Jude Law.
American Jude Law.
So let's just say, let's agree, Gattaca. Movie Jude Law is actually it.
I never saw Gattaca.
I watched it just recently for the first time. It's a pretty good movie.
Kat, I'd be concerned that you'd be like, this seems like a pretty good idea. How do you feel about standardized testing again?
Gore Verdell's in it. Wait a second. No. I am not in support of this.
Of what?
Eugenics. Of the,
oh, eugenics. You want to come out against eugenics.
Okay. On the record, I'm opposed to eugenics.
Bold, bold
okay.
choices.
I'm going to take a wait and see approach to this one. Oh, look, Dan,
it's possible
Dan,
this show is usually, getting, it's possible this yeah, show isn't getting a second season.
Dan, usually the bit would be that I would set you up to be pro eugenics, and I would just like you to you know, to see the courtesy that I
okay,
just
thank
you.
I should
there.
Also say I am very against eugenics.
So okay. also Jude Law was in The Holiday, which is one of the best Christmas movies.
Okay. All right. We can all agree that Jude Law
has
is
been
in
many
some
movies. Yes.
Yes. Oh man, that second 30 minutes is where it all comes together on this podcast.
Okay. Do you want to know about the conspiracy theory?
Anyway, so
I don't actually, but also extremely yes, I do. Yes. All right. We haven't even talked about the Max Rebo conundrum.
Yeah, let's go through.
Do you
want
to start with that, or do you want to?
No,
start
no. Let's
with,
go through wait. All the controversies of this. Okay, I'll start. I'll be very quick.
I feel like the calling one that, them controversies gives them an aura of credibility that is unearned.
I don't think I will ever be famous enough to ever deserve a Wikipedia page. But if I do, I do want the inevitable controversy section that always happens on a lot of people's Wikipedia pages.
Yep.
No, the one I read briefly on Screen Rant is because of the timing of this, because it happens in New Republic at the same time The Mandalorian, is Screen Rant, and I'm guessing others were estimating or suggesting that this show may be critical for the upcoming Ahsoka movie.
No, the Mandalorian
movie,
Grogu, yeah.
Which I don't know how it's going to get there. So that's my tidbit. What do you got, Dan? What conspiracy theory?
I'm trying to...
Wait, was that it?
That was mine.
I mean, I understand that somehow someone wrote 10 blog posts about that, but also I think that they're bad. Should be fired into space.
So I'm okay. trying to remember, I'm trying to find the evidence.
I don't think it's gonna have a connection. I think it's just gonna be a lighthearted romp through, like,
that would be nice. It's not I mean, so things that we know about the show, they've been working on it for I guess a very long time. Maybe that's how all Star Wars things work. We know somebody who's involved in the visual effects who's been on it, working on it for like 2 years.
Is that a long time to you, Tony?
It seems for yes. Yes,
it's a
is.
Weird flex.
That's what
sorry.
I'm gonna say.
Yeah. No, but I agree. Yeah.
We're not all ageless like you, the elven princess that you are. So we are but mortals here in your presence.
The elven princess who writes memos about vacations. Yes.
Yeah. Who only lives on vacation when they live forever. Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are executive producers on this because I think they get to be executive producers on all Star Wars thing. It is not a Dave Filoni show.
Who is the show running it, or who's heading it up?
Christopher Ford and John Watts. I feel like this is usually
John,
the...
Yeah.
What do we know
John Watts did the Tom Holland Spider-Man trilogy.
Yeah. He directed
three
Spider-Man.
Of them or just
I
all
believe
three.
All three of them, yes.
First
Christopher
one's good.
Ford
last one's not
wrote
good.
One of them.
Which one? That's actually Ford. Really important. Which one did you write?
I know, I can tell you it's Spider-Man Homecoming. Do I remember
that's the first
which one,
one
okay,
was
good.
Spider-Man?
Good.
Okay.
That's the good one. That's the
Homecoming,
really good one.
Far From Home. Something else with the word home in it.
The bad one is the third one.
I don't know if it's... Is it bad? The
just,
first one, I think, is...
First one's so
is,
good.
The first one's exciting, yeah. The other
fresh.
Ones are... Yeah, the first, it's hard. They're sequels. Like, did we
I
need
like
three
Marvel.
Tom Holland films? Yeah. They're fine. They are... I would say they're better than average for Marvel, right?
They're better than average for Spider-Man movies.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. It's fun that mathematically that can actually check out. There have been enough.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm just going to say they're better than average than Batman movies, too. Have you run? Yeah, okay, run all of them. You know, tabulate it again. Run your numbers.
They haven't made any since the Christopher Nolan ones, right?
They made several before that, and yep, they have
no,
made at least
no,
one
no,
after
the ones
that.
Before
so
that were great. Are oh, so good. Is,
okay.
But
they
similar.
Also,
I saw them as a
the
kid.
The Batman came out after the Christopher Nolan movies.
Is that one of the yeah the one. DC ones? I didn't watch any of those.
I mean, technically, they're all DC.
I was not that's... going to tell Kat that because it seemed rude.
That's never stopped me before.
Okay.
Before DC,
I was also going to say, but technically, the Batman is probably on Earth 2 or something like that. But
all right, I've got two.
I understand when there's information in my head that no one needs. Dan, have you finally sourced the conspiracy theories? Is about Jude
They're
Law's
equally
character.
Bad. Okay. So the only evidence I can find so far backing up
you don't need evidence for conspiracy theory. The only reason, the spawn, right?
The reason why people have gone down these paths is in, okay. I guess in one interview he mentioned, so the character's name is Jadna Nawood. Great name. Say that again. Jadna Nawood.
It's a Star Wars. Yeah, usually they give those to
Jod,
action figures.
If you're friends.
Yeah.
I also had to think when they casted them, I was thinking about, man, it's so cool they got Jude Law. But I cannot think of a single actor or actress in Hollywood who, if you were approached and said, hey, do you want to play a Jedi? Would say, no.
Werner Herzog. No.
Yeah. Samuel Jackson. They're all like, yes, absolutely, I want to play a Jedi.
Are you? I get paid for this.
Yeah,
you
know, there's definitely some misanthropic actors out there who are like, no, I don't want to do
anything
commercial.
Dan, we agree that there is a rich tapestry to humanity, and that Catherine was speaking in absolutes, but most people,
sure,
I will speak in absolutes. I do not think there's a single person.
You know who else is really into that?
Anyways,
there is this interesting new religion you should check out. Some call them the Sith.
All right. I don't know. So basically, the only indication of anything is that I guess he mentioned in an interview that this is one of his character's names and that he may not be entirely trustworthy.
Now, is he Boris, the guy from Hand of Thrawn?
Boris? And Natasha?
No, it's Saboris.
Saboris?
No, no.
You're thinking of Sebulba?
No. In Hand of Thrawn.
You're thinking of the Thrawn trilogy.
Yes, Thrawn trilogy.
The original Thrawn trilogy.
Yes. What is the clone's name?
Are you thinking of Jorah Sabath?
Yes.
That is one of the conspiracy theories. Congratulations.
What?
10
yes!
points. That is, I can't decide if it's the less ridiculous of two theories.
Everyone right, thinks it's Boris. We also thought the old guy from Ahsoka was going to be Boris.
Joris. J.
First off, it's not Boris.
That's an actual name.
I really need you to get that. Second of all,
this is my truth.
Your truth is that Joris's middle name is Boris.
Joris Boris? That's his name?
It's like a nickname.
It's not what it says on his ID card or anything.
So Joris. But we thought during the Ahsoka, during the trailers, that guy was Joris too. Like, we think everyone's Joris. That's why we think everyone's Jane.
You keep saying we. And I don't
know. No, if you roll, I'm literally crying right now. If we roll back. Not that we're ever going to listen to this podcast again, but if you go back, I think we all thought.
All of us, each and every one of us, and all of us, all of our listeners. And when you say Joris, you mean we thought the Ray Stevenson character?
Yes, that's
not madness.
That's what we thought.
Collectively. Some of us thought. We, as a hive mind. So remind me, because it has been 30 years since I read those books in junior high. These are books that are no longer canon, that have probably been out of canon longer than they were in canon. There was a trilogy of books
in the 90s. We talk about them every episode.
Yep, it's true.
Because they're by Timothy Zahn, and because they were awesome if you were like 14 in 1992. Yeah,
correct.
And they were the only Star Wars we had for a long, long time. I remember, so Joris is like a bad Jedi. He's like, is he living in the secret weapons?
Please give us a conspiracy theory here.
The deal with him in the books is that he is sent on a mission.
Is he a clone of someone?
Yes, he's a clone of Joris. So there's Joris Sabath and there's Joris. Two use, because that's how we know
that is
clones.
A horrible naming convention. It's like, oh, you're a clone? Double your use.
Yeah.
What if I don't have a U in my name? It's Star Wars. Everyone's got a U in their name, either in their first name or bad name.
Just to be clear, double the U, but not a W.
No.
That would be weird.
The double U's is the clone, or the single U is the clone?
No, the double U.
That makes way more sense. Yeah. Just want to be very clear.
Luke with two U's.
I remember, yeah.
Boy, can we all agree that when you say it?
Oh, it only sounds dumb when you say it and not dumb when you read it on the page.
It sounds natural at the time.
Because
it sounds like you're a ghost talking about Star Wars.
Anyway, there was a Jedi Master. He goes on what was in canon called the Outbound Flight Missions, which are basically they send them out to unknown regions in space. Presumably, he died, But
wait, why would they do that?
No, they went out. They sent missions out to space to invest
a long time ago. He was not popular.
No, he's not like shot into space.
He's condemned to death in space.
No, the Republic was sending missions to explore. He sent on a crappy mission.
Did anyone ever return?
Not from that one.
Oh, man.
I think the implication in the original series is that they ran in. They might have, like, that's where Thrawn came from, and that, like, maybe they ran into Thrawn. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right.
There is a clone of him that is an insane clone called Jarus. Now, the backstory I believe is true about that is that originally it was intended to be an insane clone of Obi-Wan. But they wouldn't. Lucasfilm wouldn't let him do it, so they made up a guy.
That's conspiracy theory, and the only basis of that is the fact that
the two lost have one of my
names. Yeah. Okay. Now
I will tell you, when you said that, I was like, oh, does Jude Law get to be more than one character?
Or, I think it's just saying he, like, basically this guy goes by multiple names.
He's probably like a Jedi con man.
Different conspiracy you heard here first. Maybe they're gender bending Mara Jade finally.
Mm. Oh, played by Jude Law.
Yeah.
Could be. Martin Jade? No, Marty Jade? I don't even know where you got that. Okay.
Give us the other conspiracy theory. I'm glad I guessed that one.
I can see that the next one hurts Dan.
The next one is
he looks like thematically all his neck is all hurt. Oh, okay.
So let's think about other bad clones that we know about.
Is it a clone of the Emperor?
Yes.
Okay.
There are a bunch of them wandering around, apparently like getting married and having kids and stuff, so you know.
Turns out every character you see in Star Wars, they're all clones of the Emperor. They just don't realize they are.
That one still doesn't make sense to me because it's not, is it his clone or his son, or is he just, they view his just clone as his son? I don't know.
I don't care.
Anyway. Yeah.
That seems like a great character for a lighthearted romp about children.
Yeah.
We took the most evil thing ever and cloned it. Put it on a ship with kids.
Oh, man.
Could John Nanawood be a clone of Emperor Palpatine?
Oh, God.
I suppose.
Anything is possible on this show that doesn't air for 3 more months.
I like that they also lead with, this theory is so wild, it could actually be true. As if that is any... there's any logic.
You know what? When I'm in charge of the internet, you're not going to be allowed to have articles that have questions as the title for the article. It is possible that this person is a clone of so-and-so. It'll be slightly more boring.
I think people are also looking at just the idea, like, if this does feed into the Dave Filoni movie, you're like, how much of Heir to the Empire is he reassembling for that movie?
Could he be the Ray Stevenson character?
Yes, absolutely. He could be anybody.
No. I think the Ray Stevenson character is more...
No, because it's the same time period.
Exact same time?
It is. Unless... So it does take place... My understanding is it does take place... contemporaneous with the other.
I was like, it's
shows.
Like 2 weeks before the events of the Ahsoka show, and then he grows a beard really fast.
I'll say, kids age you.
It would have been great if Ray Stevenson had a line like, I looked like Jude Law.
Yeah, his character is also in jail, so there's that cat. But
he could be breaking out, right? You don't know. We don't know he's in jail. No, we don't know he's in jail.
He's in jail with kids.
He floats. Yeah, that sounds not too dissimilar. No, he floats you see key. You don't know that's jail.
It's a sort of jail.
It's an escape room.
It's just an escape room.
All the jails are escape rooms when you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I worry when you start making more sense. That's what I'm concerned that something is broken.
That's okay. So conspiracy theories, Dan.
Those are the ones I got. I'm not excited about them.
Yeah. Thank you for magnifying all of them and sharing them with more people. Lightening our load. So what do we think? We don't know a ton about this show, other than we've seen this trailer and we know it's I guess there's that question, is it for kids or is it just about, is this just Nostalgia Factory for people that watch Watch Sadie's movies.
Visual jokes work great on podcast.
Dan held up his hand with four fingers.
Thank you for explaining.
Well, I had to explain the joke.
No, I appreciate that.
That way people think it's funny.
Yeah, a lot of jokes are better when you explain them.
Visual jokes on podcasts are better when you explain them.
Otherwise, you're just awkwardly laughing in the background.
Yeah, well, let's call the podcast. Yeah. I think it's intent. Well, okay, Star Wars predominantly is a kid-friendly franchise. So, I mean, I think a lot of people make that argument of the four kids thing to be denigrating to these types of properties, whereas I think it's intended as... I think of something like Doctor Who, where it's like, it's family friendly, right? Like, it is something everybody can watch and everybody can enjoy. And it's not that, like, being kid friendly means it's watered down or anything. It just means that it's not, like, super violent or.
Yeah.
I almost feel like Doctor Who is the weird throwback to family entertainment that is designed for people to watch with their kids.
Yeah. Yes.
Which I feel like is, I don't know, you all actually have a child. I don't, so I can only speculate that it feels like there is so much stuff that is generated for children that is not intended to be watched with a grown-up around.
I think that, like, Bluey is the exception of this, which is why Bluey is the top watched thing on Disney.
Yeah.
Which is what makes it, part of probably what makes it special. I've never actually seen it. I know it is beloved. But it is weird that basically so much media has basically, that seems like a lot of work. Let's just shovel some garbage into kids.
Right. Or there's stuff that's kids watch, but it, like, also appeals to adults. Yeah. Like, or, like, there's levels, right? Like,
yeah,
or layers.
Yeah, Sesame Street for years.
Yeah, Sesame Street. I mean, I even think about, like, the recent, like, DuckTales animated show, which is nominally for kids, but there's definitely stuff in there that's like, no kid will get that joke ever.
There's stuff in there that's, like, deep Disney DuckTales, like, canon. Did you read the Carl Barks stories in the 50s? And it's like, who is this for?
And the answer was, they just made it because they wanted to.
But I think you guys are right about this. It's a show not necessarily made for kids, but a show you can watch, hopefully, with your kids. And again, I think that speaks back to the fact that it's coming out during the holidays, right?
Yeah, I think
people are out, and you can all, and it's, you can stream it, you can all give something for the family to do, and kind of all watch it together.
It will be interesting to see, you know, what the level of violence and you know, whether they show children in peril, and hopefully there's slightly less decapitations than in Book of Boba Fett and things like that.
Many Vespas for some reason.
That's
literally what I was going to say.
They've got a great deal. I think there were Star Wars nerds who were mad when the prequel trilogy came out, and they're like, this is for kids, and it's like, yeah, because also so was the other movies that you liked, buddy.
Kid then, sorry.
Yeah, you were a kid. I'm sorry that you aged. That's on you. I am fine with Star Wars for children existing. I mean, Clone Wars, the animated series, is a kind of impressive thing, example of a thing that was clearly pitched and developed as a animated show for children that has some surprisingly rich building and themes and whatnot in it. You know,
and we've talked about this a lot of, like, I think that kids, for the most part, actually are able to handle darker themes quite well. I think it's just the gratuitous violence and sex, which they don't typically do in at all in Star Wars. Star Wars has always been more for
to me. The key families. Word of this show seems to be it is an adventure show, and to me that is also kind of a high, like, Star Wars as a genre was an adventure, and I think I don't mind having, like, I think kid protagonists can be fun. I think you can do some interesting stuff there that we haven't really done. It kind of reminds me of the, you know, looking back at, like, kind of Star Wars stuff we've seen in recent years, it kind of reminds me of that little Coda from The Last Jedi with the kid sweeping the broom, sweeping up, right? Like, that really we never got picked up on, but, like, you know, like,
inspiration.
The idea that these kids out there are inspired and want to go have adventures, but, like, then maybe stuff is more dangerous than you think, right? Well, and I kind of enjoy that. That's a fun dynamic.
Yeah. I do remember when we were watching The Bad Batch, and I feel like there were people who were, like, annoyed at, I'm blanking on the character's name in Bad Batch.
Omega.
Who were annoyed at Omega, and I'm like, it's a child protagonist character. She's like every other child protagonist character. If you were annoyed at her, I'm not sure what to, that this show that is also marketed at children is doing for you. Yeah.
I think we've also seen they, as folks may recall, the young girl who played Leia in the Obi-Wan was excellent, right? And I think I think the franchise has shown that it actually can work with child actors very effectively.
Yeah.
I mean, and if anyone could do it, Disney would.
And I think people do look back to like The Phantom Menace and feel like there were aspects of having younger protagonists there that didn't always work. But I also think it's a very case by case basis too, right? Like,
well, I think
just like, the same is true of adult actors. There's a lot of adult actors who probably shouldn't be leading movies, and yet they do.
I also think it's really important to think about this from a very Machiavellian point of view of like Disney needs
important. Important to think about it.
So Disney needs new viewers, and this might get some new folks get folks into Disney, right?
Yeah.
Get the kids in. Get them young.
It does. I mean, I look at it and I mean, it's very Spielberg-y looking, but it looks like a Disney thing. In a way that I would say, like, you know, The Acolyte did not especially look like a Disney thing. Andor, which we love, sure as heck does not look like a Disney thing. I like that the grown-up version of Star Wars is people talk for a long time. It's not like there's, like, gratuitous sex or Game of Thrones violence. It's just, like, there's a lot of talking.
Talking
there's
meetings. About
so there are so many meetings, it's not for children.
Because children will be bored.
Yeah. Workplace politics.
I don't know. I even like I saw people knocking like the suburbia design and the like and the school bus and whatever. It's like, I don't know. I thought it was fine. And
well,
to your point,
I mean,
Tony,
I think people were mad because it doesn't look alien. And like, I mean, I think they're gonna leave it in the first episode.
Yeah, I agree.
But like, I mean, I think they are evoking something extremely specific there with a huge amount of intentionality, and they do it well.
Like two things. This is actually one of my biggest critiques. I've definitely mentioned this of science fiction books and movies is the disregard for the role of public transportation. And I do
so
think
you like that there's a bus in it.
I do like there's a bus, and then you'll also notice that when the cars go by, that there's tracks on the ground that implies that that's where they're getting their like electrical current from.
But what about that speeder bike that they're just zipping through traffic?
Yeah, there? I have some concerns with that, but I do really appreciate that they're clearly going to a very clean form of transportation and continue to have a good stable public transportation system in this world.
Just you think that this is a planet where they're not strip mining it like Lothal?
Exactly.
It just reminds me of whatever. At some point, I showed you years ago the ratings of all the Marvel movies based on whether or not there was a train in them, which is
a great 6 month
supercut
period
of like all the train, and basically this movie no trains, bad, and then eventually gets to Captain Marvel, and there's like multiple scenes of Captain Marvel on like alien trains, but trains in Los Angeles, and they're like, this movie's amazing. It's definitely the
how do you but all right
I love that they're trains in Captain Marvel. It's like, what's when the movie is so good? Because
what
like,
about when violence befalls public transit? Like, I think there was a thing where there were multiple movies. I think it's like Shang-Chi and Blue Beetle have a thing where a bus gets chopped in half to show how
the Blue Beetle had that. Yeah,
I think Shang-Chi also had that, didn't it?
There's definitely
So how do we feel about violence toward
at least public people
transit
are
as a
using
physical
public
entity?
Transit.
The key thing here is using it, even if it's getting cut in half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's twice as many buses now.
I think
buses
what tells
exist
you is that
to be cut in half.
You're more likely to see a superhero on public transportation that you would just on a single occupancy vehicle. So,
and like to be honest, from an efficiency point of view, you're more likely to be cut in half by a Blue Beetle in a car than on a bus.
Or you're actually just more likely in general to be hurt in a car than on a bus.
Yes, that is what I was saying. That was my
I just
joke
like the idea
that repeated back to me as
that there is. That there is.
Yes.
I thought you were saying just the Blue Beetles. Like, I think cars in general are quite dangerous, Tony.
I like that.
That was the comment that turned it into a humorous exchange I was attempting to make with you.
I do like the idea of the influence of this, where you think to yourself as you're watching a movie where Shang-Chi is on a fight on a bus, and you're like, I should take the bus more. Shang-Chi takes the bus. I should take the bus. Why don't I take bus?
I'm just concerned that scene may have the opposite effect. Anyway. So
we're generally bullish.
We're excited that this show has a bus in it.
We're excited that this show exists with the potential of being canceled after one season.
Do we know already if it's only a one season show?
I've heard nothing about that one way or the other. We have not. I don't think the press junket or whatever has started in full force.
It's still
yet.
A long ways out, right?
Yeah, we're still 3 months out. So, I mean, I've seen Jude Law throwing out a couple things here and there, but like, also, can I start a conspiracy theory?
Yes.
All I'm saying is the name Jod Nah sounds a lot like Jude Law.
Do you think he insisted that his character sounds something like him?
No, no. Maybe he sounds more like Jabba.
Oh, is it? Is he Jabba?
Yeah.
Jabba survived. What if he's Jabba's, he could be a clone of Jabba.
That explains the Max Rebo connection.
Did we even? We didn't even talk about
the Max Rebo controversy.
Do you want to briefly talk about
Tony? That was yours. I'm letting you handle it.
I really don't. We'll leave that for next time.
Speaking of which,
oh,
do you want to do some mail? Oh, I happen to have a couple mail things.
Did you wait until we've been doing this for like an hour?
I forgot
to mention that there's mail.
Dishes, but yes, let's keep going.
All right, no, we'll get to that in December. It'll be like
the dishes or the mail.
You know, either way.
I just have some quick ones, some quick emails.
At some point, I'm going to break Dan's heart by telling them these are all from my burner emails. All of them.
This is for emails at acp@thinkcombo.com. Julian writes in to say the subject line was the Acolyte season 1 episode 7 ... sometimes. Julian writes, I'm dying. The shenanigans. Oh man, definitely two pieces of cake for Kat next time or swap back to ice cream. Good work, team. Jay wrote in, it's funny and also hurts a bit, which was the Acolyte meme of, did you ever hear the tragedy of Dark Plagueis the Wise? No, they canceled the Acolyte. That one was getting thrown around a lot.
I like that one a lot.
And then finally, David wrote in with the Acolyte not picked up. Welcome back, guys. I read today that Disney is not continuing the Acolyte. I'm sorry we won't see more Darth Bortles, but I'm okay with it. I feel like I got an interesting, entertaining, and disappointing story. I'm happy with my headcanon answers to whatever I want to know. Thinking about it, I think I'm satisfied, too, with the pace of Star Wars stories. They aren't overstaying their welcome. Mandalorian wrapping up with a movie and or completing. Ahsoka getting completed in a different, I hope, movie. I don't think that's actually what's happening, David. I think they're getting completed in the same movie. My wife thinks they'd be better off taking a 20-year fallow period than continuing with a mediocre series every year or two. What do you think? If you had to choose between mid-Star Wars every year or a much better one in a decade, but nothing until then, where would you fall? I've lived through Star Wars Famine and Feast, and while I wish it was higher quality, I'll take the unlimited sizzler buffet of Star Wars we have today over nothing. Nevertheless, I'm not sure she's wrong, but I really want to live long enough to see a Rogue Squadron movie. Pew, pew. Wedge Antilles was the pilot I wanted to be as a kid. If you're looking something to cover during the drought, how about reviewing one or more of the X-Wing novels from Legends? Or as someone who's never going to spend the time to work through the game, could you review and spoil Jedi Fallen Order? I don't know when you'll get this, but I'm glad you're back. Yub, yub, Commander.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yep. I agree on Rogue Squadron for sure.
It's
I think I've mentioned it.
Nominally in development, but
such a good show. That's an interesting question.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I do kind of enjoy having the I like having Star Wars. I don't know. Maybe I just want to be pandered to. Like, I don't. I did the whole thing where it's like, let's wait 15 years between movies, and it was a bummer.
Yeah, I think it's a question of I would rather what we have. I mean, what we essentially have right now is basically roll the dice, right? We just don't know if it's going to be high quality, low quality, or medium quality. And so, like, some winners and some losers. And we have to watch them all through this podcast.
Yeah, we are contractually required to do
absolutely
all of them. And even the ones that, like, we're kind of bad. We're not painful.
I'm sorry.
No one's...
I will say I have never laughed as hard. Book of Boba Fett, right? It was just, I enjoyed talking about how weird that was.
Yeah.
It's weird.
You know, I think we are in a weird world right now where they're doing some recalibration. I don't think any Star Wars has been as bad as Marvel Secret Invasion, for example.
Oh my god, no.
Oh, which I'm is like, so did, happy I stopped did, watching how, that halfway through.
How did that get out? So,
yeah, I watched two episodes
I'm just
saying, Dan, no, absolutely not.
The floor is, the floor is a lot lower, which is part of why it's sad that, like, you know, The Acolyte got canceled, because it was like, that seemed like a better show than that. But, you know, again, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It is interesting. I think part of this, let's also, like, to put it in the larger contextualization, which we didn't talk about in the first half of the show, was when Bob Iger came back to Disney, one of the points he made was, we're going to cut costs and we're not going to necessarily have as many Star Wars and Marvel shows. And the Acolyte was expensive. Like, it cost a lot to make. And so part of this is they need to figure out how to make shows on a better budget, or they need to make fewer shows. So some of that was outside their power. Just because it is stuff that, like, is just about the end of the day. It's about business. It's about the streaming market with so many
money,
different...
money, money.
Yeah, it's all about money. Anyways, there are a few other tweets on our Mastodon, but I don't think I'm going to go into them all right now. Although I will take this one from Michael that says, "Kat, thank you for the great out of context or not quote. I've always thought about joining the Sith."
I don't even remember that, but I believe it.
Also, Andrew's quote, "No, this Sunrise app is really cool. Our arborist uses it," unquote, was not on my bingo card for the Acolyte season finale of episode ACP. I was dying laughing.
I actually want to defend this app. I've been thinking about this on a regular basis.
Against who? Who is attacking you?
You, both of you.
No, we made fun of you, but we
are
didn't.
Making fun of you for talking about an app. We're not saying that the app is bad.
We all agree the app is super cool, okay?
I have no feelings about the app. I am merely making fun of your enthusiasm for it.
So there have been several times.
I want to be extremely clear about what I'm criticizing. I'm criticizing you. The app is great, presumably.
I recognize that. I accept that. I'm also willing to know, I think you should get the app. And here's why I think you should get the app.
I don't need to know.
To be clear,
you know what I do?
They're not sponsoring.
I look outside and the sun is either up or down. I'm okay
with
that.
So we
have
a friend today around 2 o'clock.
I don't have any trees.
No,
I don't take advice from arborists.
It's also for buildings too.
I live a very different life from you.
I was outside with a friend getting coffee and we were sitting in the shade. And I was like, oh no, is the sun coming out behind that building? Will we be in the
not
sun in 30 minutes? I brought up my app and I was like, no, the sun's going to stay behind the building. We're perfect just where we are. I was so happy to have my app today.
You know what? I am happy for you.
Just defending that app against the lies of Tony Sindelar.
Finally, did I sound as tired as I felt in that when I said it's... finally?
It's too bad that this podcast is too professional to win awards.
Oh no!
Oh no!
We just pulled the ripcord on Kat on that one.
No, we'll explain that one next time. I cannot wait to be disqualified.
Yep. Lyle wrote to say, "Hey, thank you for hosting the premiere Star Wars water cooler talk. Have a great break." And Peter wrote, "Great season of the show. If you're looking for ideas for a special, how about a rewatch of the movies? Any of them / all of them."
What, are there movies of Star Wars too?
Some.
Oh.
I'm not telling you which ones or how many.
Okay.
You said they're going to re-release Rogue One to theaters right after Episode 2 comes out?
I heard that was rumored as basically leading up to the end of Andor Season 2, basically so that you could watch the second season of Andor and then go watch a re-release of Rogue One.
It's exactly that happy, happy ending for all your favorite characters.
Yeah.
There's a certain satisfaction in certainty.
Yeah, they're not coming back for another season.
Some people don't like loose ends.
They're all force ghosts. Anyway,
justice for Blue Leader.
I think we've reached the end of this
several ends
impromptu episode. Who knows? Will we be back again? Maybe. Certainly by December we'll be back again, but will we appear in your feed sometime between now and then? I wouldn't bet against it.
There's no way to know.
We just get bored some nights, you know. Just hop on, touch.
Gotta get out that that release steam release valve of talking about Star Wars. But thank you everybody who wrote in and said very nice things. We really appreciate them.
We do.
You can send us email, have your letters to queue up for the new season, acp@thinkcompl.com. Or find us on Mastodon, acp@zeppelin.flights. And of course, if you enjoy this special brand of madness, you can be a member of The Incomparable. Go to theincomparable.com/members, sign up for one of our membership plans. You can even choose which shows to allocate your membership fee to, including your fine friends at A Complicated Profession. But until we return to grace your podcast listening, once again, I would like to thank my co-hosts, Tony Sindelar. Thank you for popping on and discuss Star Wars.
Thank you for having me, Dan and Kat.
And Kat Benish, thank you for being here to remind us all about Joris Boris Sabath.
You beat me to it. That was literally going to be how I was leaving. Oh, I hate you so much.
I know you.
Squeaks for life.
Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll be back at some point. But until then, may the Force be with you.
the Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members